but we've got, you know, one third of it moving. That's the important thing.
Leeway Express.
Right. This is Jack Heights area.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. How'd it go, Hugh?
Up and down. How big an account would that be?
Well, in essence, the way it works, Bud, is that we're getting a letter of intent to get two or three trucking companies on the same system. And when we do that, it'd be a pretty nice count. I can't give you a figure right now. But we've got to...
versus one that you take over in.
Right. Basically. You know, kind of like we did with the Southwestern in a way.
Are they Washington-based firms?
No, Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
Right. How'd it go with you today?
Well, let me give you a rundown.
Okay.
I spoke with Hal Sampson at Mitchum Jones Templeton.
Right.
And we're running into some problems out there.
Mm-hmm.
They like what Midwest is telling them.
Now, Midwest
is a service bureau, a non-profit service bureau operating out of the Midwest Stock Exchange.
It's a non-profit?
Well...
They operate that way, huh?
Yeah, it's non-profit, like a cost-plus contract would be non-profit.
Okay, I understand.
They charge their users so much, and if the pool of all of the users does not make money, then they assess them.
Oh, I see.
But it is non-profit in that it's run by the exchange for the benefit of the users.
Okay, so they're kind of cold then, huh?
Well... He won't say that they're not going to let us do a study, which is the reason I called him today. But I think Davis and I are going to go out there next week and beat on his desk.
Okay.
Met with Bob Swinnerton, the senior VP, Dean Witter,
mm-hmm.
the head guy in New York here.
Right.
And had a nice chat with him. He turns out to be the son of Herb Swinnerton, who's one of the principals at G.A. Saxton, whom I had met in my travels around Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we had a little conversation about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows Jim Baines, this is the marketing guy. He handles marketing and trading, and of course he knows Jim Baines, the marketing and trading guy that I've become very friendly with, Dominic mm-hmm. and Dominic.
What did they have to say?
Are
they interested in anything?
Well, of course, he's not the decision maker. The Witter family still controls the firm, body and soul.
Mm-hmm.
But he did tell me a little bit about what they're doing. They have a daily trading P&L, which is very similar to what we have, but according to Bob, was developed at great expense. He did indicate that they are spending a lot of money, and he thought that it would be wise if we... had a chat with their operations partner, Bob Flanagan.
I see.
To see if we had some things that they didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
He said that they had a priority list of things that they could do with their resources. We covered that ground.
Mm-hmm.
But he just flat said, you know, that the decisions are made in San Francisco. There's no question about that.
Okay.
But it was just to get acquainted meeting.
Right. Great. What's the next step on it?
I'll get with Flanagan next week.
Okay.
I didn't want to set a firm date until after I talked to Sampson.
Okay.
Because I was hoping we'd be able to kick that study off next week.
So right.
I'll get back with Swinnerton and set a date up to meet with Flanagan, the other senior VP who runs operations.
Right. Okay.
Talked with Kurt Grunbaum, the president of New York Hanseatic.
Right.
And... he doesn't want to have any further discussions. Somebody's gotten to him and scared the hell out of him, I guess.
So is that right? Why?
Don't know.
Huh.
He's a European fellow with a European outlook on life.
Uh-huh.
He was very concerned about what would happen to his people. That was his. Uh-huh. He was more concerned about that than anything else.
Okay.
And I think that his DP guy got to him and said, well, you know what they're going to do, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So I'll be back with him in another month or so to see what he's up to.
Okay.
Went over and talked to the DP guy at Singer Mackey and the finance guy, Dick Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we're going to be able to do much for him. They have pulled out the Varian equipment, which cut their DP costs by more than 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And that was primarily the deal that we would make would be structured around us assuming that equipment and bringing that equipment completely online. It's an online stock trading inventory stock record system.
Okay.
And the thought there being that since that was their system, we could very likely have uses for that other than just for their account.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
they have come in and taken the equipment out. They've sent it back.
What kind of equipment was that?
It was a computer that was built by Varian,
which
is a Palo Alto-based concern.
Just kind of a small one, huh?
What, the Varian Corporation?
Yeah, kind of like a Hewlett-Packard type?
No, it's a cost of $20,000 a month for rental.
Wow.
And they originally...
What is it, a primary, a software thing that...
No, it's just a piece of hardware. Varian is a fairly substantial manufacturer of special...
I see.
Mostly digital type
computers. Right, okay.
And this particular computer, as best I could determine, was originally made by Varian for another use.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello? Are you Mr. Martin?
Yes, I am.
I have a collect call coming from Spain called Mr. Coppel.
Yes.
Do you accept the charge?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Okay, Colette, go ahead.
Hello, Ted?
Yeah.
This is Murphy Martin. How are you? I couldn't be better. It's good to hear your voice. I cannot hear you.
I said I was trying to figure out who the hell Martin was with area code of 214.
I'm fine, thank you. I talked with Nick Archer this morning after having heard your radio report yesterday and also the TV report last evening.
Yeah.
And he said, number one, that perhaps it would be advisable for me to call you. Number two, to tell you that whatever length of time we consumed in this conversation, to consider that compensatory time and add it to your vacation.
Very good.
No, I was interested, Ted, in what may have been said that did not come through in your report regarding the prisoner of war issue with which I'm still vitally involved. And I thought I would just give you a call and see if you could enlighten me along those lines.
Well, I really don't have a hell of a lot more that I can tell you, Murph, other than what came out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they used for the interview last night or what you have heard. But basically what these guys told me was they got to see two of the POWs.
Mm-hmm.
These were two guys who've been talked to before.
Right.
The North Vietnamese point of view right now is, A, that it's a big fucking political issue as far as the Americans are concerned, that if Nixon were really concerned about having more POWs, he wouldn't be sending more bombers.
Speak up just a bit, Ted. I can barely hear you again. Hello? I can barely hear you, Ted.
Now,
that's good. I can hear you.
All right. They've given their assurance to the three labor leaders that if and when they decide to release prisoners, they will do it through them.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you know with whom they met? Was it ranking officials, or was it lower echelon, or what?
No, they met with some pretty ranking officials. They met with Lee Dun Tho.
Uh-huh.
On the last day.
Did they meet with Pham Van Dong?
No, they did not.
Mm-hmm. And do you know if the men they were allowed to talk with were brought to them, or if they were allowed to see any of the detention facilities?
The men were brought to them. That's the whole point. The North Vietnamese are saying now that ever since the raid on Song Tae, that they are not going to take anyone to see the camps anymore.
Right. Now, if they are at some point in the future when they decide to release people, Did they indicate that they must have something in return for these people, or they would just release them for propaganda purposes or whatever?
No, they, to the best of my
knowledge. Hello, you faded again, Ted. Hold on a moment until you come back. Hello? Hello?
Yes, buddy.
Now, that faded out when you said to the best of their ability, and I heard nothing after that. You're faded again. Hello? I can barely hear you, Ted.
Yeah, I think you should hear me now.
Yes, I do.
All right. They said, you know, for the time being, they have no intention of releasing the prisoners, but that if and when the time comes, they will do it through these labor union leaders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that there is other information that perhaps they will deliver to Washington before talking with you or anyone else?
Yes, absolutely. They indicated that there was a lot of substantive material that they got in their conversation with Le Docteur, and they wanted to talk to Kissinger before they would release that information.
Now, that material pertained to the overall problem or POWs only, or could you differentiate? I said, did that material pertain to the overall Southeast Asian problem or to just the POW issue only?
I can't answer that. I got the impression that it was on the overall problem, but it may also have been on the POW problem.
How long were they in? A week?
Yeah, they were in a week. They met for 2 hours and they got through.
Mm-hmm. It would seem to me that suddenly they are parading a lot of people into the North again. Right. Pete Seeger was in there.
That's right. There was also a young black man who came off the plane the same time they did. And I had to take my choice as to who I was going to grab.
Mm-hmm.
And he was from some veterans anti-war group.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in there. And I met with the North Vietnamese in Vientiane and got reasonably warm reception and some suggestion that within the next few months I might be able to get in.
That's good. That's good. Whom did you meet with there? Nguyen Van Thanh?
No, it was the other. They had two first secretaries. Thanh is one.
Yu Chen?
I met with Tom, T-A-N.
Yes.
So we met for 2 hours and had a good conversation, and he seemed quite optimistic.
Mm-hmm. Did they come out relatively convinced that the men are being treated well now?
They came out absolutely convinced that the men are being treated well.
Mm-hmm. Were they convinced in their own minds that they might change their posture regarding release sometime prior to November?
No, not necessarily, but this was one of the things I talked to Tom about when I was in there, and apparently they made a similar point. And I said, you know, the one thing that you can do to put pressure on Nixon is of your own accord, without any price, release 50 prisoners. I mean, well, you know, what does it cost you? You've still got over 1,000 that you can hold on to for bargaining purposes, if that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just let 50 go as kind of a token of goodwill?
Mm-hmm.
It would put tremendous pressure on Nixon then to meet some of your demands.
Right.
And they said, well, you know, this is something that we are considering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that they're seeing so many people. Apparently, the issue is more so on their mind than in the past.
Yeah, it is. You know, how tough they're squeezing Nixon's nuts with this one.
Sure,
and
sure.
I don't think they're going to give up easily on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, they might release a few just for the propaganda value in it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the total number is concerned, I think they recognize that they've got themselves a pretty good ace in the hole there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did these men seem to indicate that they were told that as a result of the Peking trip and Chou En Lai's subsequent visit to Hanoi, that pressure had been brought on them?
I asked them that, and they said they didn't feel it would be in good taste to bring up the subject of the Peking trip or Chou En Lai's trip.
Uh-huh.
They simply didn't talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Now, I must warn you, Murph, that,
yes.
I got the distinct impression that these guys were absolutely brainwashed. You know, the three guys
right.
went in. They came out just loving everything about the North and wondering what the hell
the big problem is.
Americans have been doing all these years.
Sure, sure.
I don't know just how reliable what they say will be.
Was Tom Glennon with them?
Yes, he was.
Is that the same Tom Glennon that used to be at ABC?
Yes, it is.
And what is he, a PR for Labor now?
That's right.
And it was Glennon, Livingston, and Gibbons?
Glennon, Livingston, Gibbons, and Caldwell.
Caldwell.
Clifford Caldwell. He's with the meat cutters up in Boston.
Uh-huh. And Livingston is with, he's dock workers?
No. Livingston is, Christ, I always forget what the hell his union is. It's local number 65, I think of the distributive workers.
That's right, that's right. And of course, Gibbons is Teamsters.
Gibbons is vice president of the Teamsters.
Right, he was heir apparent to Hoffa for a long time and lost out to Fitzsimmons.
That's right, but he's still a tough cookie and he's still in the running.
Right. Ted, I thank you so very much. Is there anything else that you can think of that might be of interest to us?
Not right now, Murph. You're still working for Osborne?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, we try to explore every possibility and piece these bits of information together into something that would be meaningful and make sense, and we ask ourselves only one question when we think about anything or start to do anything, and that is, will it help the men?
Yeah.
That's our sole thought.
I do get the impression. The reason I warned you against, taking what these guys say too seriously is because obviously they met with two prisoners who previously had been trotted out for a couple of other Americans who were in there.
Yes, yes.
And I have to ask myself the question, why, if everyone else is being well treated and if everyone else is fairly well satisfied with how things are going, why do they keep trotting out the same couple of guys?
Sure, sure.
But they seem to be genuinely convinced that these guys are being well treated.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know. It does have that unanswered question, though, that you mentioned, that why the same people over and over if everybody is being treated humanely and is in good shape?
Well, I can't answer that any more than you can.
Sure.
All I can say is these guys have the impression that the men are well treated. The only other thing that I can add to it was something you may have seen, and that was in, have you been reading Seymour Hersh's articles?
I saw the first one only.
Well, there was one in which he said that a couple of North Vietnamese leaders that he had talked to commented on how bad American prisoners were standing up psychologically.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that, and that is a little strange and also interesting, because in days gone by, from the men that have been released and other bits of information that we can gather, one of the, if not the most important thing in which the North Vietnamese take pride is their medical facilities and how they can handle people.
Well, now, you understand what they're talking about there.
They're talking about psychologically, I assume.
That's right. Well, you're saying that these guys really had nothing to believe in, and that after the first 4 or 5 weeks, when they realize they're not going to be tortured, that they just kind of fold.
Sure.
Now, that was one other thing, and that is, I don't know whether this was in the hunk of interview that was used on the show last night, but one of the things that the guys mentioned to me was the North Vietnamese said to them, look, we tried releasing American prisoners for a while, and the Defense Department used that against us.
Yes, they used that on the air last night.
Used these guys for propaganda purposes.
Right.
And later on, they were a little more explicit in private conversations. They said, Christ, you've got guys that they're parading out saying they pulled my fingernails out. And you said the North Vietnamese just claim it isn't true and claim that if that's the way the Defense Department is going to play it, they simply aren't going to release any more guys.
Well, it's a tough problem.
Yeah,
how are the Canary Islands?
Very nice. Weather's lovely.
Great.
How's Dallas?
Couldn't be better today. It's beautiful and fairly cool, and would be a nice day to be out of the office.
Splendid. splendid. I can imagine. Well, listen, Bert, if I hear anything and if I get a chance to go, I'll be in touch with you.
Great. I would look forward to hearing from you, Ted.
Okay.
It's nice to talk with you and have a good vacation.
Okay. God bless.
Goodbye.
Today, I almost had to walk out on another man whom you are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have if I hadn't thought that he wanted me to do it.
Mm-hmm. One that you may have had dinner with on a Friday evening recently?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
He really blasted me up one side and down the other.
Regarding the prime plan or the present posture?
The present posture and... I assume that spills over into the plan. He never once mentioned that. He just, I think, really lost his cool.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're having words about it. I'm to go back tomorrow and talk to a man I haven't talked with yet, whose last name is spelled K-H-A-I.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about him?
No, that's a new one on me. At which location?
U-N and then K-H-A-I.
At what location?
This is in the suburbs.
Right.
Which is where I was today.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday, I was at the other place.
Mm-hmm.
And was told on receipt of the plan that there might be further questions about it, but for now... in effect, they didn't know the right questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
But that on the face of it, it seemed acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the first man said, as he was taking me over to the other place where I spent the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
with a group of people, there were 15 of them, and I talked with them at length about American political institutions and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
He took me over there in a car by himself and told me on the way that the clock had started ticking, but I was not prepared for the reception I got today.
All right, let's
what's going on?
All right, now the clock had started ticking. How did you interpret that?
I interpret that to mean that at least for him and his people, the plan seemed satisfactory on the face of it.
Mm-hmm.
That things would begin moving from their point of view.
Mm-hmm. All right, then let's move to today. Now, fill me in as much as you feel you can about today, just from top to bottom.
I went out to the suburbs,
mm-hmm.
to talk to the man,
mm-hmm.
and he made no pretense of welcome or anything of the sort. He was obviously under a lot of tension. And just started dumping on me.
Mm-hmm.
In a rather, I thought, irrational kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And when my friend in Vietnamese, so I don't know what he said to him, evidently said something like, now take it easy. He calmed down a bit, but not too much.
And you say the focus of attention was on the present posture, not on the plan, per se.
That's right. That's right.
Did he at any time discuss the plan?
No, not with the man today. As far as I knew, as far as I could tell, he had not seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to think that we're again dealing with a very badly split factional situation here.
Were you able to ascertain the purpose why you were taken to him today, then?
No, I don't know, except that it must have been by some previous agreement that whenever I came, that he would see. I went out, you see, hopeful that I could unruffle his feathers, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my feeling...
Now, this is just a guess from putting little things together, Murphy, and I can't talk about it very long.
Sure.
Is that there is a negotiation planned with the government.
Mm-hmm.
Our government.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're going to get serious about that now.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when my first friend was taking me out today,
mm-hmm.
he asked if I would consider myself having been sold out. That was the phrase he used.
Mm-hmm.
If the purpose of my negotiations was reached with my government instead of myself.
Mm-hmm.
As a bargaining point with my government.
Mm-hmm.
I said that as long as we got them back, we didn't care how they came back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in fact, it occurs to me that that may be something we want to get to our government. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But don't do it until I get out of here.
No, no. Oh, no. We wouldn't until much further consideration anyhow. Also, at any point in time, has there been any talk about your wherewithal or any of that? Who's behind you?
No, that has not been mentioned again. It was simply assumed with the first man that I had the wherewithal, and no questions were asked about that.
And, of course, the second man did not even touch on the subject.
No.
As a matter of fact, there have been no explicit questions or specific questions about the plan proper yet.
No, there haven't. Now, the first man did ask me if I could wait until they could do a preliminary study of this to determine what questions they had.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that might be coming up tomorrow when I talk to Kai.
Mm-hmm. Have you been told the purpose of why you should talk with Kai?
No. Just that I would be talking to a new man.
And this was told to you by your host there or by the man who was angry?
No, by the first man.
By the first man. Did you know any of the 15 people you met with yesterday?
I had not seen any of them before, and they were all young men. And I assume that they are junior diplomats.
Were you taken? Was it spelled out to you what you would do before you got there with that group?
No, it was not. Simply, would I consent to meet with a group and discuss American political institutions with them?
Mm-hmm.
And what I said, well, I just gave them like a government 101
right.
type of lecture.
Right.
And but I made it very, very plain whenever I had the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That Richard Nixon was going to be reelected. I think they've got to know that.
Mm-hmm. Now, were any of the people that you had known prior, were they also present with the 15?
No, there was entirely new faces to me.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you've had three meetings already.
That's right.
Do you have another later today?
What's that?
You don't have one this evening.
Now I'm free, and in fact, I don't have anything until 3:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Now, are you at the same spot where you have been staying?
Yes.
Have you had any problems there as you had in the past?
No, I did not.
And
as far as I know, I'm not, I don't have anyone accompanying me.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to make doubly sure of that.
Certainly.
Which is why I'm where I am now.
Yes. Is there anything that we need to do from this side at this point in time? Excuse me.
I don't think so, Murphy.
Now, let me back up just a moment then, Ralph, to see if I interpreted you correctly. As you were driving out for this meeting today, or yesterday.
Yesterday.
Your host said, would you feel, or words to that effect, would you feel double-crossed if the plan were carried out with the government rather than with you?
Yes.
Or words to that effect.
Right.
And you told him that you could care less as long as it became reality. Did he say anything else that pointed toward the possible working with the government and a settlement there?
Well, I'm trying to think now, Murphy. He said nothing explicit.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole tone, you see, I was with him for 3 hours.
Right.
The whole tone of the thing, he was very cool. very unlike the other man.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as though for him everything was going on schedule kind of thing.
And then sometime after that meeting and before today, either there was a change of posture.
Now you faded out.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
All right, now you're back.
Good. Was there, in other words, something happened between your meeting yesterday and today, or at least the reflections of the two men were very diversified?
Yes, they were. And,
do you think
my psychological reading of this, Murphy,
mm-hmm.
is that the top man may have suffered a serious diplomatic defeat with his own people.
Uh-huh.
And that I might have just been the brunt of that.
Uh-huh. Could it be...
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Which is why I didn't dare leave, because that would have given him a victory.
Yes. Could it be that a decision has been made elsewhere above his rank that he is not in agreement with but is going to have to live with, and he was just venting his disappointment on you?
I think that would be the wise interpretation at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I'll know more about that tomorrow.
Very good. I interrupted you a moment ago, and I'm sorry for that, when I asked if there's anything perhaps we should do here.
No, I don't think there is. The only other thing that I think could happen here is for there to be some questions about the plan,
mm-hmm.
about the technical aspects of it, which I might not have the answers to, and which I might have to run down to Geneva to get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But on first reading and on first discussion, and we talked about it every way we could think of,
mm-hmm.
the plan is solid and one that they can discuss seriously in their capital.
Very good. The indications are that the series that they had mentioned, a series of talks, will continue, and no mention has been made of when they will end.
That's correct.
Now, how would you read from your point of view? Do you think that the man you will be meeting with tomorrow, that you are going to meet with him regarding the plan or regarding something else? How would you just...
I have no idea.
What is your hunch?
I have no idea.
Do you have a hunch?
I have a hunch that it's about something else.
Uh-huh.
Because I think that he would have been in on the plan much earlier if he were a part of it.
In other words, in the suburbs, they reflect a disturbance, a very disturbing emotional situation.
That's right. They seem almost panicked out there.
They're uptight. This is not reflected in the city.
That's right. It's very strange, isn't it?
Not really, because things that would make the city uptight would not necessarily make the suburbs and vice versa. Because they do have different charges of responsibility, I believe, basically.
Yes. Well...
Of course, you're in better position to read that.
Well, I think that I'll be a little better off after tomorrow afternoon when I get another reading from this third party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's another one of those so far so good situations as far as my host was concerned.
That's good. In other words, you read out at the moment that so far it's been worthwhile and is good and is going. There are no major roadblocks, but we still have an intangible regarding the tantrum thrown today.
That's right.
Okay.
We don't know what that means.
Very good. We will look forward then to...
Our best guess, Murphy.
Yes?
I think our best guess is that the tantrum is good for us.
That's good. That's good, yes. And I think that you may be right. Well, we will hear from you when you next get a chance and think it is feasible. And
right.
In the meantime, if you need anything from here or think of anything else, you know where we are.
Okay, Murphy, what you might do, pending another call from me, is try to check out and see who this man is I'm talking with tomorrow.
Yes, I thought I would do that, and I want to think long and hard about doing it.
That's spelled now K-H-A-I.
Right, and his first name was Nguyen?
Right.
You don't have a second given name?
I don't have a middle name. That's how he was referred to me.
Nguyen Cai.
Right.
Okay, we'll try to go from there and see what we come up with.
All right. And I'll try to get back to you tomorrow night.
Now, the harangue, just so I'm sure in my own mind, the harangue that was unleashed on you was... was, I assume, centered on the bombing and refusal to accept any of the plans that had been made and that type thing?
Yes, that's right.
Did they seem to be even more, did he mention the fact that they were bringing in any more forces or anything like that?
No, he didn't, but what I read in the Herald Tribune here, they've even got their reserve division down there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is apparently an all-out offensive.
Right. Do you read that this may be their last big effort before they get to the table?
Yeah, that's what I sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the big man wants to go to the table.
Mm-hmm.
At least not now.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting. Do you feel it comfortable with your next session? If it is centered on something else, I suppose you have to wait for them to tip the hand, or maybe you could contact your host there to see when you get back to the plan proper. I guess that will come in time.
Well, it may be that the host will even be available to me tomorrow afternoon before or after the talk.
Right. If you don't know anything about the man, would it be in keeping with the posture to just say to him, who is this man and what is he?
Well, let me think about that. I don't know.
I don't know if it's the thing to do, but you're in position to make that judgment.
Yeah, I may call back tomorrow morning and find out, excuse me, and ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I'm going to sit tight.
Very good. Ralph, thank you very much. Good to talk with you.
Well, I wish I had something more definite to report, Murphy, but that's the way it's going so far.
Well, just stay in there, and we know that you will do the very best as you have always done, and if it is to be, it will be. And I'm sure...
Remember that the first man said that the clock is ticking.
That's right, and that's important.
Yeah, that's really all we want to hear right now.
And that may be, because the clock is ticking, may be the reason the second man was angry.
All right.
Could it be?
That's what I hope.
Do you think it could be?
I do.
That's good.
So I'll get back to you as quickly as I can, probably tomorrow night or the next morning, Murph.
Very good. It's good to hear from you, and take care.
Okay.
Right. Very good. Goodbye.